Hello and welcome to episode 6 of our Trendy Times podcast series. I'm David Pritchard, head of marketing at Sintons, joined by Nathan Johnson, who is a fifth year solicitor apprentice here at Sintons. Hello, Nathan.
Hi, David.
I've been looking forward to recording this one. I don't know why, but I've been looking forward to this one.
So have I. I don't know why.
Okay, so Nathan, I'm sure you've listened to all the episodes so far, haven't you?
I have, in full.
Have you got any particular favourites so far?
No. No, I have. I've liked them both. I like the first one with Leah because I think we're both in the same sort of position in the firm. So, yeah, enjoyed that one.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, so episode 4. We will pretty much follow the same format, I imagine, as the first three, Nathan. We're going to talk a little bit about you and your route into law and you being one of the original solicitor apprentices in the Northeast as the scheme launched, along with Leah. So lots to talk about there. We're also tell people about recruiting at the moment for trainee solicitors and a solicitor apprentice, so we'll just talk about that. And then you and I are going to concentrate on and have a look at what do we look for in a trainee solicitor and a legal apprentice. So we're trying to cover basically every one of the 14 podcasts, trying to cover an element of the recruitment process. And then we'll end on our left field question of the day.
I'm a bit nervous for that.
You should be. Yeah, you should be. You should be very nervous. Very nervous indeed. Okay, so that's pretty much the format. Let's get started. I will just tell people just a quick story. So Nathan joined when you were 18?
18. Yeah,
and you're now 23. So Nathan's had various different photos taken. So he had photos, you know, that's exactly what I'm going to say. He had his photo taken on the first day. And then as we've had our professional photographer in various points over the last few years with new starters, and also people can change appearance, particular instances. Is a colleague growing a beard who I think will only ever have a beard now, and they want their photo retaken, and that's fine. That's all great. We're happy to do that, and obviously new starters as well. But we've been doing Nathan's a couple of times as the years have gone on, so we've got a bit of a wall of Nathan in terms of Nathan through the years, really. And there's this quite fresh-faced lad that joined us when he was 18, and this absolutely mature, grown-up man. So it's quite. It's quite a thing to
fresh chubby, I would say.
No, I wouldn't have said that. That's not what I would have said at all. But it's just, you know, to see you develop over the last 5 years,
actually, hasn't it? Because I don't see any of that sort of change. But when you actually put the photos next to each other, I suppose it makes sense. I came fresh faced. I would be like,
well, the funny thing is I don't see you as any different because I see you every day, and we for most of it sat quite close, haven't we? Yeah. So I don't really notice it until you put those photos together. I mean, for me, I just get bolder. But for you, you're on the upside. I'm over the hill.
I think I'm getting towards the top of the hill, though.
I think I'm over the hill and halfway down the other side. Okay, so tell us a little bit about you then, and how you came to be here, and how you came to be involved in the solicitor apprentice.
Well, when I was sort of doing my A levels, I did apply for university, but I wasn't completely sold on the idea of going there full time. I've had older brothers and cousins who've been to university, and just from speaking with them and being quite similar in my character to them, I thought, I don't know if that's the best thing for me. So I had mentioned to a careers advisor, if you see any sort of degree apprenticeships coming up, because they were sort of becoming a little bit more well known and popular at the time, I said I'd be really interested in that. And she came quite soon after. I think Sintons had been reaching out to sort of various colleges and schools, and she mentioned about Nessa and Sintons and the apprenticeship. So I read up on it, and as soon as I did read up on it, I decided that was for me. Applied straight away, put a lot of time and effort into the application process because I thought, sort of, wow, what an opportunity.
So you weren't obviously that set on law leading up to it. Obviously, once you saw the job spec, it was for you then. But leading up to that, you'd had no particular leaning towards any particular career?
No, not really. I think law was always something that interested me. And when I think back at it, if I ever seen sort of articles online, anything about the sort of judicial system or anything like that, I always had a sort of subconscious interest in it and sort of criminal law and all that side of things. So when I seen that apprenticeship available, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna have a look into that. And I think your perception of the legal profession as a whole, it's quite enticing. So when I looked into it, I thought it was a great opportunity. I thought, I'm still getting my degree, which was something I knew I wanted to do, although I wasn't quite set on uni full time.
Sure.
So I thought, that's the perfect mix for me. It's a profession I can really get into and get behind, and one that I would be pleased to have my name sort of associated with.
Yeah, okay. So you applied, and it was the first year, so it was pretty much a pilot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the north. Northeast. It was a brand new scheme. So you put a lot of time into the application,
yeah.
Submitted that, and what happened next?
Yeah, so submitted that. What happened next was they sort of sifted through all of the applications they got and narrowed the numbers down to, I can't remember actually. It was still a decent sized number.
Mm-hmm.
They invited us to an assessment day at one of the firms who were involved in centre of Newcastle. So we went there for a full day. They sort of tested us in a few different aspects of our writing skills, sort of drafting a letter to a client, observed us doing some sort of group work to see how we, I suppose, interact with one another.
Yeah.
Because obviously law's really client facing and you've got a lot of contact in that way. So they want to see how you interact. After that, there was also some like sort of quick fire interviews with members of each firm who mm-hmm. were at the assessment day, and then a short while after that sort of Sintons got in touch to say that I'd made it through to sort of their own assessment day,
yes,
okay. An interview. So I think that was over a 2-day period, which was terribly nerve-wracking,
right,
but also a really good eye-opener. I'd never been even into an office environment before. So
had you had any sort of part-time jobs or anything?
Part-time jobs, yeah. So I'd worked in a hotel near sort of where I live, Slaley Hall, which was really good and I really enjoyed it, but it instilled a hard work ethic into mm-hmm. me, because that was long hours as well. Sort of it would be going in at sort of 4, 5, 6 p.m. doing the evening shift, but because it was a hotel and you had to set it up for breakfast the next day, you'd be there at the early hours and things like that. So that had its benefits too. When I look back at it, I've never actually thought about that, but I think that sort of prepares you for the challenging times in law, because it's an area that's certainly, you know, peaks and troughs,
and also
times
it's client facing, which yeah, you mentioned earlier, exactly. As well. It's people yeah. facing, customer facing, isn't
yeah
it?
Exactly.
So you came in and you did your couple of days. How many were shortlisted into your assessment days?
I think off the top of my head, I want to say there was maybe 10 to 15 people.
All right,
there,
okay.
Maybe. And it was an interesting one, because you knew you were being sort of assessed, but at the same time they were trying to keep it sort of informal. I think it was more the case they wanted to get to know you,
mm-hmm.
because I think they're aware that most candidates who sort of get to that further stage are going to be on a similar footing academically.
Yeah.
So it's more about getting to know the person. When I look back at it now, I think that's more what the assessment day was like.
And I suppose the opportunity for you to see what the firm was
exactly.
like.
Exactly. So it was a two-way thing, and I think it's an opportunity for the firm to get to know us, but also an opportunity for us to get to know the firm and the people in it, and whether it's somewhere that, you know, we could be committed to working,
yeah,
working well, for 6 years.
Equally, it has to be a fit for
exactly.
both, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Generally, it's not just about the firm selecting you. You have yeah. to be comfortable with where you are, and I should
yeah.
say 6 years is a long time mm-hmm. to commit yourself to. So 10, 15 people. Were you interviewed?
Yeah, so, and I don't know if this was the same for everyone, but I was interviewed the day after. So
okay.
I had the assessment day, and then I think that will have been the case. I think they had sort of everyone in to assess and then staggered the interviews over, you know, the following couple of days sort of thing. So again, that was a really nerve-wracking experience, but a good experience that you learn from. And I think when they offered the job, actually Kate Oliver, who works in neurotrauma, she rang me up early one morning. I don't think I was working at the time, so maybe my sleeping pattern wasn't
right.
Wasn't aligned with the sleeping pattern of someone coming into the office every day. So she woke me up when she rang me to tell me, and I don't think I would have sounded as happy as I actually was. We still laugh about it now when we see each other, because she could tell, like, she'd just woke me up and I sounded absolutely terrible. I think I had to give her a sort of a ring back or something, or next time I spoke her on the phone and go, God, I was so happy when you rang, but I'd just also woken up from a deep sleep.
And then you started that September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
So you've done school, you've done college. Quite similar to Leah, you thought that whilst you would like
yeah.
your degree,
yeah.
university's not necessarily for you. Lots of reasons for that. Mm-hmm. Apprenticeships come along, you've applied, you've put a lot of time into the application,
yeah.
as you said, and you've come in and given it your all for the assessment, seen that Sintons is for you, obviously wowed them, were selected along with Leah,
yeah.
and offered employment, and you started. Did you feel a lot of pressure riding on you in that, A, you were just turned 18, so you're still very young, not that age makes a difference, but you're still very young in years, whilst obviously I've always been incredibly mature. I've always thought that, incredibly mature for your age.
That's not what you say when we see each other around the office.
Incredibly mature for your age. Just not saying I am. And then you've been the first cohort, if you
yeah.
will, of almost a pilot scheme. Did you feel that pressure?
I think it was more nervous sort of excitement than pressure.
Okay.
I thought I was really nervous to start, as I think anyone who's looking to become a solicitor apprentice or trainee for that matter would probably feel. I think particularly when you're a solicitor apprentice and you're coming straight out of school, you're going to be, you know, nervous as anything. But it was more that than pressure, because I thought, you know, when I went for the assessment day and the interview, they were really relaxing and welcoming, and I thought it's a nice firm, and I thought although it's on me to do well, they'll give me the benefit of the doubt and help me at the start, because they know it's not usual for them. They've always had people come through the traditional route where they've had years at university, had those sort of life lessons, and possibly had experience working with the Citizens Advice Bureau or different little things they can do like that. So I think Sentinels will have been aware we've got someone coming in who's literally fresh out of school. Yeah. So although I was pretty nervous before I came in, I didn't feel much pressure, and once I actually started, that sort of feeling was vindicated by what Sentinels were like with me.
It's quite interesting you put that your life lessons have actually happened whilst you've been here.
Yeah, which is an interesting sort of, and can be challenging balance, because you don't have the opportunity if something is going on in your life or whatever, or you're learning these lessons, you've still got a job to do and you've got to put it to one side and concentrate on sort of the work and the clients you've got. And what I would say is that Sentinels have always been supportive and helpful with any concerns that myself or Leah have had.
I think with everyone I've talked to and you know, my thoughts myself, it is a great culture, and we've talked about culture a lot, and it is so important that a firm is a right fit for you, because there's certain firms that I wouldn't fit at, and I can tell you that straight away. There's other firms that I would. Here I completely do, completely do, and it's just the balance of everything is right, from the support to the environment to the people just so willing to give you their time. Yeah. It's just a positive, engaging environment, isn't it? I do remember met you on your first day, but one of the first things we did together was actually, we had to record a video, didn't we, about, I think it was your first few weeks in the apprenticeship scheme, and there was, you were doing it from Sentinels, and then there was various other apprentices from the other firms, and I got to record it, and we did it in this room, lights, camera, reflectors,
suit on, that was
suit
so
on,
such a strange
microphones a lot, because it was an important one. I'm not sure how I got selected to do it, but anyway, it was good fun. I didn't mind.
Was there anyone else available?
Cheek. So we did that in here, and I was just amazed, considering there was other people in the room, which can be really daunting anyway.
Definitely.
And considering we were trying to do it in a way whereby it wasn't scripted, so you're just talking like this, really. And as you know from this, we can go off trail on this, can't we? But with this, we can stop it, we can restart it, sort of all the rest of it. And obviously, you can do that with the videos, but I remember out of everybody that did it, you were one take, perfect, just didn't need recording. And you'd said to me, should we do it again? I just said, I don't think we can improve on that. So you got the nickname One Take Nathan for a little while. Other nicknames, I think, since then.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, I've forgotten about that one. There's other ones that stick out in my head.
Yeah, but that was I just was just really impressed. I remember being really impressed and saying to Pete, my colleague, that how good you'd been, and just literally you've just rattled through this in such a mature style. It was really impressive.
Thank you. I think it's testament to you and Pete as well in marketing. I think you do a great job.
Thanks very much.
Put us at ease when we're doing things like
that. Well, that's very kind of you. I'll pay you later for that. Okay, so you've worked here for 5 years. It's 5 years of your 6 years. You've now passed your degree, which you did phenomenally, phenomenally well in.
Thank you
very much. Well done on that. There's a lot of times when I do routinely come in early and you're there studying, or when I'm leaving late and you're there studying. There's been a few times we haven't known actually if either of us has gone home for the evening, but I could always see when you had your head down and were studying hard, so it's an absolute credit to you. So 5 years is a long time. It does feel like it's flown over, though. Tell me about some of the departments you've worked in.
I started in neurotrauma, which is sort of a branch off personal injury, so it's specifically claims where people have suffered really sort of severe and life-changing brain and spinal injuries, so there's a lot to it. It's not only sort of securing a settlement for them, but it's also sort of rehabilitation packages, adaptations to home, and because the claims are of such a sort of high value and have got so many complexities, there's a lot of different forms of expert evidence and, you know, barristers involved and things like that. So it was a really, really good seat to begin in. Particularly, there's a lot of sort of meetings and things like that you can sit in at the start where you're sort of shadowing, which I found really useful. Just getting used to all of the different terminology that's used, how people sort of interact with each other, how the client's always sort of at the forefront, and you've got to keep bringing yourself sort of back to that. I must say, coming from school into such a serious department, while I enjoyed it, was a real sort of shock at the start. And there was times I went home and I thought, you know, I'm in a real job here. There's someone who's had this accident, and it's the ripple effect on the family and extended family is always huge. And we've got a really important task of really shaping sort of the rest of their and their family's life through our work. So that was quite a big thought.
Yeah, I mean, you're not coming just to play, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
You're coming in and this is the, I suppose, the kind of the dichotomy, isn't it? You're 18 years old with limited experience some things, as you've said. A lot of you growing up and you maturing has been done here. Yet you're instantly, obviously with maximum supervision, involved and supporting in such complex areas, which I think is, I remember how quickly you were grasping things as well. I can remember that at the time. Every time I spoke to you, telling me about something else you'd done or something else you were learning. But it's testament, isn't it, to the scheme. It's testament to you as an individual getting in and getting stuck in and approaching it with such a mature and professional approach, because you have to. But obviously also the quality of the firm. You talk about Kate Oliver, who is superb.
Great supervisor.
And you worked with a lot and is just as awesome a lawyer as she is a human being. So, you know, you've got great people to work with down on the first floor in personal and serious injury. So were you there?
I was there for 2 years.
2 years, okay.
Which I think is something the firm likes to do with the solicitor apprentices. Because obviously with the trainees, they're on the six-month rotations right from when they come. But they've got 6 years with us, so I think maybe 2 years, you know, 1.5 to 2 years in your first seat is something that Sinton's like to do, so you can get a grasp, firstly, with just coming into a working environment every day full of, you know, serious people doing great jobs. You get used to that sort of thing and get more confident with the department, because obviously they're aware you might not be super confident at the start. It's all new things, but they're really supportive, and I think having those couple of years in your first seat is really beneficial for your own confidence and sort of self-belief. So 2 years in there, and then I moved to the residential conveyancing department, which couldn't be obviously more different, much more sort of transactional based. You're obviously buying and selling people's homes, things like that, dealing with leases and mortgages. So it's been a really varying few years so far, but again, that's testament to the firm and how many different areas of law that they provide and act in at the department, and the experience you're going to get. You know, there might be some firms that if you were to go there, you might get sort of stuck in one department for 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have the choice, but Sinton's are keen to push you around and allow you to get that sort of development in other areas, and it shapes you and your thoughts, where you want to go, what you think you're good at, which is obviously going to be important when you're deciding sort of what you want to do in the future.
We've talked at length in the other podcasts about one of the strengths of the firm is it being a full service law firm.
It's a huge strength of the firm.
So that you do get the opportunity to work in a lot of departments and for you to see which area that you actually want to qualify into when the 6 years is up, because you'll move on to a 6 month rotation now, won't you, in the last 2 years?
Yeah, that's right. So on the 13th, I believe, or around then of March, I'll be moving on to another department, which will be strange but also an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to sort of getting a grips with another area of law again, because I've been in conveyancing for a while and I've gotten better at the job over that period of time, although, you know, Anna may disagree.
I doubt that.
But I'm excited to sort of be a beginner at something again and start to get to grips with something completely different.
Sure. So,
and working with a new team and things like that and a new set of clients.
Just moving slightly away, one thing that's always struck me, and particularly with, I think, the solicitor apprentices and the trainee solicitors we've had recently, you all seem like a very, very tight-knit group.
Yeah.
What's that like in terms of support? Because obviously you had Leah, so there was the two of you at the same time. And Leah's a phenomenal talent, as are you, and a great person to be around. You had Saffron come a year later. Mrs. Sabrina's just joined. We'll be speaking to her next week. And then we're looking for another solicitor apprentice to start with us in September 2022. So in some ways, you're the elder statesman now, aren't you? Obviously.
Unfortunately.
But
senior.
Senior. Exactly. So what's the relationship like with the other trainees? What's the support like?
It's great, and it always has been great. Particularly when I've probably felt the most was when I first joined, because I was so sort of young and fresh-faced, and they'd been to uni and whatever else, and they were, you know, years ahead of me sort of thing, and they really looked after us. So there was, you know, people like Jonathan Tutu, for example, who's still here. He really looked out for us and continued to do so, not only until he finished being a trainee, he still, you know, pops down to see us now, which is great. And that's just testament to what that group's like. The firm are really...
He's always been one of my favourite people to work with.
Yeah.
Working on a project with him now, a business development project with him now. And yeah, he's always been just such a great person to work with.
Yeah. And I know I'm picking him out, but they've always been like that. And still to this day, it's like that. And obviously, because I've been here a bit longer, I'm in my fifth year now, I've seen like a different sort of set of trainees come and go, sort of thing, which is strange because when I come in, I'm the one needing that guidance and I don't need to give them guidance, but it's weird to see how things sort of change. But it's always been close. We've done sort of the trainee challenges, which have always been wild, hard, you know, a proper laugh and a really good sort of bonding experience.
Well, I thought that for the one last year where you walked St Cuthbert's Way and I had the job of... driving the minibus and being the support vehicle, which was a lot of fun, and you could see how close you all were and that came across. That was really nice to see.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it just gives you that alternative means of support as well if you don't want to go to your supervisor or anything like that, because sometimes you see how busy, you know, they are with their work. If you've got any issues, you know there's a total other set of people there for you. And I would say that's right throughout. You know, I could come to you if I needed something. It's all over the firm, really.
Okay, so at this point in the podcast, and you'd be really upset if I didn't give the plug for recruitment now being open for trainee solicitors and solicitor apprentices. So the window opened for trainee solicitors to join us in 2 years' time. That window opened 1st of January, and that runs until the 30th of April. And we also are recruiting for a solicitor apprentice to join us in September 2022 this year. And I believe the deadline is open till... towards the back end of February. I think it's the 26th of February. But to find out more, and this is the plug, Nathan, what's the web address?
www.sentons.co.uk.
As I say in every podcast, there's an absolute wealth of information on the website. There's comments and testimonials from the trainee solicitors and solicitor apprentices. There's a whole raft of content around what we look for and what we expect and the process itself, and obviously the all-important ways to apply. So the links to the online application form are there. So if you are considering it, and we really do suggest that you do, regardless of which route you think works for you, we generally do recommend law as a career. So if you are interested, those are the dates. Check out the website www.sintons.co.uk. Obviously, if you have any questions on anything that you see there or anything that we're talking about, all our contact details are on the website. If you want to drop us an email, please feel free to. We're absolutely happy to help you in any way that we can and help you along the road to making the right decision. Okay, so with that said, at this point, we are going to talk about an element of the graduate recruitment solicitor apprentice process. And today, Nathan and I are just going to list, really, what we look for in a trainee solicitor. So, Nathan, what do we look for?
As we mentioned earlier, I think a lot of candidates are maybe on a similar academic footing. So I think it's all about sort of your personality and your attitude more than anything. So a willingness to work hard, a willingness to basically throw yourself into anything. There's loads going on at the firm, so business development, CSR, all that kind of stuff. You need to be willing to throw yourself into that. You need to be really willing to learn and engage with the work and with your supervisors. So I think the firm really value how you interact with people and engage with them. Like we mentioned earlier, it's really client facing, and you do have a lot of client contact really early on, and contact with, you know, various parties, barristers, medical experts, for example, when I was in neuro. So your ability to interact and sort of be personable with people, I think the firm really value. You've got to always want to improve yourself and sort of have that drive. It's an ambitious firm, and you need to have that ambition as well.
Yeah, quite right.
And I think one thing that everyone should and will be aware of is that law can be challenging at times. There's those periods of time where you may be expected to work a little bit longer if you've got a deadline or a completion coming up, mm-hmm. but you've got to see that as you're just doing that for your client to provide them with the best service they can have, and be willing to do it and happy to do it and have the kind of change of perception. It's not got to do this, it's I want to do this and provide this service for this client and get that sort of positive feedback and do a really good job. Obviously it is commercial and you need to think about that sort of thing, but there'll be less pressure on you to consider that sort of thing when you're at trainee level.
Sure.
It's more about being a sponge. But I think the main things for me, David, really, it's it's all about your attitude and your willingness to engage, learn new things and sort of work hard. And I think they're the things the firm really values.
Absolutely. I mean, if I would sum them up, just as they wrote on the website, really, as Nathan says, an absolute willingness to work hard. It's a prerequisite.
Yeah.
You get out of it what you put in. Exactly. It's as simple as that. An ability to engage well with clients and with colleagues,
yeah,
as we talked about, client facing, but also the relationships with people within the building that you work with. An awareness of the need to be commercial. It is a commercial firm. It is a professional, regulated environment, and you have to respect that and you have to understand that. And I think the sooner you understand that, I think the sooner you fully slot in, I think. Yeah. A continual desire for self-improvement and professional development. Well, yeah, that is so important. We're always developing, we're always striving, we're always changing, we're always improving. And a commitment to excellence. If you look at Sinton's mission statement, we're all about excellence, providing excellence for our clients, providing excellence to our community, everything about Sinton's ethos that runs through it. So that is what we look for. Right. Okay. So as we start to wind down on the podcast, I still love saying that. You've got a little smirk there. Our left field question of the day. Because we both like our cars, don't we?
Yeah.
We've talked about cars a lot over the years. Money being no object, what's one car you'd buy?
Oh, that's a great question.
I do think some people have had harder questions than this. This is actually quite a nice
one.
Yeah,
that is a nice question, actually. I think I'd go Aston Martin. You know, like a proper James Bond Aston Martin. I just think the shape of it and all of that, yeah. I think that's pretty easy, actually.
And the same. It's an Aston Martin DB9.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the exact one I'm thinking about.
I think I'd struggle to get in it.
Right.
I don't think I'd be comfortable getting in and out.
Yeah.
But I think once you're in there, you probably wouldn't want to leave anyway.
I like the more recent Aston Martins, the more recent versions. Are you a bit of a... Do you like the old school?
I do, but I'm thinking of the DB9 from, was it the DBS in Casino Royale?
I'm thinking DBS, that rings a bell for me. It may be that.
So we're both going to Aston Martin.
Yeah, that was easy.
Very easy.
I was really scared for that, David.
Right, well, we shall leave that there. I've been looking forward to, just because obviously I've had so much to do with you over the past few years, and it is a pleasure to see the man in front of me of what you've become and what you are becoming. I've really looked forward to recording this one, so I'm pleased we did it. I obviously always like to talk to you and I like to hear about you, so this is great. As I've mentioned in all these podcasts, these are slightly lighter in nature and a little less formal than normal. And obviously when you're looking to apply, is such a big thing, it is such a daunting thing. What we're trying to do is let you see the human face behind the actual process from both sides, from the firm side and also from the people that have applied, that have been through the process, that have been successful in their applications and are now working here. And we talk about somebody like Jonathan Tutu, who was a fantastic trainee and a fantastic mentor and has gone on to qualify within the firm and stay and continues to have that role and that and that level of respect from people. So that's why it is slightly less formal in nature. We will see you for episode 7, he says, checking his notes, where we're going to be talking to Saffron Sinclair. And Saffron is a fourth year solicitor apprentice. She came the year after Nathan and Leah. She's got a very interesting story as well. I'm going to leave her to explain that to you. But basically, Saffron did other things before she decided the apprentice scheme was for her. And she fully changed the region. She moved here just for the role on her own.
And it's interesting, actually, all three. So me, Leah and Saffron, we've all had different sort of ways into the same route.
That's the beauty of this whole series, in all the ones that we have recorded. And whilst I really do recommend you listen to them in order due to diaries, we've not necessarily been recording them in order. So Saffron's has actually already been recorded, Nathan's we're doing today. But actually, everybody's got a slightly different slant on the story. And that's been really interesting to listen to. But hopefully that shows people who are listening that there are all shapes and sizes and different ways to get into law. It's never too late to get into law. If it's something that excites you, if it's something that is a passion, because everyone you speak to and are hearing from are passionate about what they do. You
got to be.
You have to be. Yeah. You have to be. You spend such a long time at work, it has to be something that generally is a passion. Still a passion for me 20 years after starting it, and literally that's flown over like that. Okay, so we'll leave it there. Nathan, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this an hour. Glad my voice has held up, because my throat is very, very sore today. And we look forward to seeing you for episode 7. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.